Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship. It is the fifth Sunday of Lent, and we're getting very close. Next Sunday will be our Palm Sunday service, and we'll begin Holy Week. So I'm hoping you're looking forward to that as much as I. There is a lot of information in your bulletin this morning. First of all, if you did not complete a Bridge Team survey, please pick one up before you leave today. Complete all of the four or five questions and then return it in the offering box or hand it to any person on the Bridge Team so we can get a little bit better idea of what the most important values are in your mind about our congregation. Now, Monday, I'll be in the sanctuary at 2:30. Tuesday is our CPR training at 5:30, and we'll probably meet in the chapel or the parish hall. But then next Sunday, oh my goodness, it's finally here for me, a Austin Glover in concert that evening at 6:30. I still have a sign-up sheet on the post in the narthex for people to sign up to bring cookies or treats or some form of drink that we can all share together. If you have questions about that, please let me know. You can call me, you can text me, you can email me, and so we'll have opportunity to really welcome the community of Jasper into our building. If you want to keep spreading the news around, there are still some flyers out in the narthex that you can pick up and distribute around places you may be this coming week. Also, on Good Friday, the sanctuary will be open from noon until 6 p.m., and there is also a sign-up sheet that is posted there for four sign-up slots are available for each hour, and so you can take an hour or a half hour and sign up for that time. There will be materials here in the sanctuary for prayer and meditation to help you be to focus on the day at hand. Let's see, I think that's, you do see the insert about the flower garden and the mommy and me, as well as Austin and the Easter egg hunt for your children or grandchildren. And then John Schneer is asking us to let everybody know whether we would be interested in participating in having our offerings taken directly from our banking accounts. So it would be an online gift that you could make every week or every month or even during the worship hour once we have a better internet signal here in the sanctuary. So just check yes or no whether you'd be interested and would participate and leave this in the offering box as well. Are there any other information that you'd like to share with one another before we begin our time of worship? Well, if not, let's share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I invite you to stand and let's sing together our welcoming song, Amazing Grace, verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. continue with our invitation to worship. Lazarus, though dead, was called to life by Jesus. As others witnessed this resurrection, they believed in Jesus. Praise be to God, who has given us Jesus. Amen. Let's continue with our morning prayer in unison. God of life, you are the one to whom we call. You are the one who hears. You are the one who acts, bringing us new life with your grace, love, and power. Lead us in our time of worship, so we may be prepared to follow your lead in places where life is at risk, in places where hope seems far away, and in places where dreams die during sleep. When we leave these walls, help us to live the teachings we proclaim within this our place of worship. Through the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray, amen. You may be seated.
Our lesson today is from John 11. A man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the same Mary who massaged the Lord's feet with aromatic oils and then wiped them with her hair. It was her brother Lazarus who was sick. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Master, the one you love so very much is sick." When Jesus got the message, he said, "The sickness is not fatal. It will become an occasion to show God's glory by glorifying God's Son." Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, but oddly, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed on where he was for 2 more days. After the 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." They said, "Rabbi, you can't do that. The Jews are out to kill you, and you're going to go back? Jesus replied, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in daylight doesn't stumble because there's plenty of light from the sun. Walking at night, he might very well stumble because he can't see where he's going." He said these things and then announced, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. I'm going to wake him up." The disciples said, "Master, if he's gone to sleep, he'll get a good rest and wake up feeling fine." Jesus was talking about death, while his disciples thought he was talking about taking a nap. Then Jesus became explicit. "Lazarus died, and I am glad for your sakes that I wasn't there. You're about to be given new grounds for believing. Now let's go to him." That's when Thomas, the one called the twin, said to his companions, "Come along, we might as well die with him." When Jesus finally got there, he found Lazarus already 4 days dead. Bethany was near Jerusalem, only a couple of miles away, and many of the Jews were visiting Martha and Mary, sympathizing with them over their brother. Martha heard Jesus was coming and went out to meet him. Mary remained in the house. Martha said, "Master, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now, I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus said, "Your brother will be raised up." Martha replied, "I know that he will be raised up in the resurrection at the end of the time. You don't have to wait for the end. I am, right now, resurrection and life. The one who believes in me, even though he or she dies, will live. And everyone who lives believing in me does not ultimately die at all. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Master. All along I have believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God who comes into the world." After saying this, she went to her sister Mary and whispered in her ear, "The teacher is here and is asking for you." The moment she heard that, she jumped up and ran out to him. Jesus had not yet entered the town, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When her sympathizing Jewish friends saw Mary run off, they followed her, thinking she was on her way to the tomb to weep there. Mary came to where Jesus was waiting and fell at his feet, saying, "Master, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her sobbing and the Jews with her sobbing, a deep anger welled up within him. He said, "Where did you put him?" "Master, come and see," they said. Now Jesus wept. The Jews said, "Look how deeply he loved him." Others among them said, "Well, if he loved him so much, why didn't he do something to keep him from dying? After all, he opened the eyes of a blind man." Then Jesus, the anger again welling up within him, arrived at the tomb. It was a simple grave in the hillside with a slab of stone laid against it. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." The sister of the dead man, Martha, said, "Master, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead for 4 days." Jesus looked her in the eye. "Didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" Then to the others, "Go ahead, take away the stone." They removed the stone. Jesus raised his eyes to heaven and prayed, "Almighty God, I'm grateful that you have listened to me. I know you always do listen, but on account of this crowd standing here, I've spoken so that you might believe, they might believe that you sent me." Then he shouted, "Lazarus, come out." And he came out, a cadaver wrapped from head to toe and with a kerchief over his face. Jesus told them, "Unwrap him and let him loose."
May God bless that reading as well as your hearing. Indeed, it is God's holy word. As we heard, Lazarus is gravely ill, and enough that Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus. "Hey, Lord, the one that you love is sick." That's the message. So what did they expect from Jesus? I mean, to come immediately, or to just simply speak some divine words wherever he might be, and then Lazarus would be healed? How often do we have unfulfilled expectations, so we set ourselves up for unnecessary grief or unexpressed anger because, well, we just didn't get what we wanted? And even though Jesus loved this family, he didn't run right over to Bethany. He stayed where he was 2 more days. And until he finally said to his disciples, "Let's go to Judea." "What? Teacher, the Jews there just tried to stone you, and now you want to go back there?" The disciples may have been a little irritated. It seemed to them that Jesus was off course again. Drawn by his love for this family, Jesus waited 2 days on the other side of the Jordan River and then traveled 2 more days to get to Bethany and again put them at risk with the authorities in Jerusalem. It was only 2 miles away. And when they arrived, Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. See, they thought they were going to Bethany so Jesus could show compassion and comfort those who were in grief. I can't help but wonder, maybe the disciples were showing what we call mission fatigue, unsure of their final mission or when it would happen, and confused by the strategies that Jesus kept choosing. See, they were eager for Jesus to reveal his authority and defeat the Roman oppressors and free the people who lived under Caesar's yoke. So they really weren't prepared for what happened at the tomb that day. I mean, no one could have truly anticipated it. Well, as soon as Martha heard that Jesus was near, then she ran out to meet him. "Lord," she cried, "if you'd been here, my brother would not have died." Do you hear some anger and frustration in her voice? "Lord, why didn't you do this for me? Where were you when I needed you the most?" You can channel God's healing power even over the worst of illnesses. So why didn't you take care of the problem when we first told you? It feels like you failed us. How often do we wonder why God doesn't do the things we think God ought to do? How often do we feel like our prayers just don't make any difference? How often do we want to yell, "Why weren't you here, God, when we needed you the most? Where is your almighty power now? Why didn't you do something?" Martha was filled with a lot of strong emotions, yet she still continued, "Yet even now I know God will give you whatever you ask." What was in her mind? See, here we catch just a glimpse of Martha's faith and confidence in Jesus' character and power. She trusts God's willingness to work through him. He says, "Martha, your brother will rise again." "Oh, sure, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection on the last day." "Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, the one who's coming into the world." And we see another glimpse of Martha's faith as well as her acceptance at Jesus' identity as the Son of God. So Jesus asked where Lazarus' body was, so they took him to the tomb. And a short distance from him, he told the crowd, "Take away the stone." Oh, well, Martha protested. "Lord, by this time, there'll be a very bad odor. I mean, he's been in there 4 days. The Hebrew culture believed that a person's spirit hung around the tomb for 3 days, or maybe up to a maximum of 4 days, hoping to be reunited with the body, yet then it moved on to the heavenly realm. And in first century Palestine, bodies were not preserved like they are today. A body was usually buried on the same day of death because, well, decay began immediately. So when Jesus told the people to open the tomb, everybody was a bit queasy. "Oh, Lord, don't ask us to do that. We don't want to do that." And we probably all said something like that to Jesus. "Lord, we'll obey you, yet surely you don't really want us to do that. I mean, if we do that, it'll cause a stink." How often do we prefer that some situation in our midst or even from our past needs to just stay buried? We don't want to remember or re-experience the pain of the past. Yet what if talking about the situation frees us from its pain? What if we learn something about ourselves so then we don't repeat the same response or create the same pain we previously did? Well, Jesus, of course, he just ignored her. And again told the crowd to move the stone. And again Martha protested. How is it, even when Jesus tells us what to do to improve our issues or take away our pain or even improve our relationships, we often still protest? How often are we reluctant to do what he asks? How often are we even afraid to listen to Jesus' instructions because, well, we're just not sure we can do what God asks? We're not sure we want to do what God says, because if we do what God says, we might have to deal with something that'll cause us stink or make others uncomfortable. And the truth is, problems stink, and we would rather just leave them buried. But the thing is, to receive the miracle that God had planned, Martha had to stop making excuses, to risk smelling that stench. And for our congregation to receive miracles that God has planned, we may have to risk opening tombs where some problems or issues have been buried so Jesus can get to them, even though doing so may make us feel a little queasy or uncomfortable. We might have to expose the deadly situations to light and allow God to work in our midst and show us the value of new life. See, in the Greek, Jesus' instruction was in the plural form. All y'all, take away the stone. Now, something that big couldn't have been accomplished by one or two people. I mean, the entire community of faith had to do it together. So Jesus is standing in front of that tomb. Come on, people, roll that stone away. Give me access to that body. If you really want to see the power and glory of God, then you've got to cooperate with me. Now, was it a standoff? With Jesus saying, move the stone, and the people thinking, no way, it'll stink, we'll be uncomfortable. We don't know what to expect. How often is it like this with us? We have an issue. Jesus tells us to open it up and give him access to it so he can take care of it. Yet we're reluctant. Oh, let's just not open up that can of worms. The point is, we don't always give Jesus full access to our issues because we're afraid of what we might have to do. We hope that if we just ignore those issues, they'll go away. Yet keeping that tomb closed would have meant Lazarus' body just kept decaying. Keeping our issues buried won't make them get better or go away. And if we keep our issues closed off from Jesus, we can't experience the new future God already has in store. Only when we open up, expose our issues to Jesus, can he produce amazing, incredible results. Didn't I tell you? If you believed, you would see the glory of God. So do we believe God wants us to see and experience the glory of God? Do we believe Jesus wants to produce incredible results here in our midst? The thing is, Jesus waited 4 days to come because he wanted this community to see and experience the glory of God. What he was going to do could only be credited to God, and everything in Martha's background and in her upbringing told her to keep that tomb closed. Jesus was offering her an inconceivable opportunity. Yet only if she was obedient would she be able to see the glory of God. And it's the same with us. Only when we give God our total trust and obedience, and do what God asks, will we be able to see and experience the glory of God, who's waiting to reveal a wonderful future. When we do open up all our issues and fears and concerns and give Jesus access to them, it may not feel pleasant. In fact, it might stink. But if we don't give Jesus access to them, and we won't be able to see and experience the glory of God for a glorious future. Now that command to move the stone, which prevented Jesus' access to the tomb, was addressed to the entire group. It would have taken everybody to do it. So as a community of faith, how can we be more intentional and work together to remove the stones and the obstacles that keep Jesus from working miracles in our midst, in our lives, in the life of this congregation, and even the lives of this community? Yeah, God's asking us to work together, to take the stones away, so we can experience God's glory and a glorious future. Now, maybe Jesus could have moved that stone all by himself, but that's not the way he chose to do it. He wanted the community involved. Jesus does have power to work miracles, yet he always asks us to be involved because that's part of the covenant that we share with God. It shows our faith And unless we do what we can do, then the miracles that God wants us to experience won't happen. Well, Pastor Karen, how do we roll huge stones away from those trapped in the clothes of death? Well, we can start by being positive and uplifting and encouraging, by expressing hope and joy and excitement and enthusiasm, by openly sharing our faith, by offering love and extending forgiveness, and being accountable for our words and actions, by deciding that we're not going to ignore or hide our issues. Instead, we're going to openly discuss them and find mutual solutions that will benefit everybody, by giving God this opportunity to provide a win-win-win-win solution. You win, we win, God wins, and God's kingdom wins. Now, there's another person at the tomb that we don't hear from, about whom at least we know two things. Lazarus. First, we know Lazarus has died after being ill long enough for Martha to summon Jesus in a desperate plea for help. He was entombed. No one jokingly said, "Oh, Lazarus, go in there and hide so you can surprise Jesus when he comes to visit you." You know, it'd be like some Jack in the Box or maybe Laz in the tomb. No, he was buried, dead and buried, and sealed in the tomb by a stone so large that Mary and Martha couldn't have moved it. It would take an entire community to roll it away. And secondly, we know that when Jesus came, he commanded the stone to be rolled away by the entire community. And all everybody expected was a horrible stench and a disappointment. Yet Jesus called, "Lazarus, come out." And then, wait for it, amid that anticipated fear and probable stench and gloom of the tomb, Lazarus came out. Imagine Lazarus, who'd been laid amid the cold stones and hard, unyielding earth, his body wrapped in grave cloths, was already beginning to sink into the earth as gravity drained his body of any hint of life. What were his first thoughts? "Who's calling me?" You know, it sounds like Jesus, but how did he even get here? And what does he want with me now? What am I supposed to do? Come out? Well, how? Summoned by the sweetest, yes, most commanding voice the world has ever known, Lazarus began to wiggle his toes. He began to move. Struggling to break free from the cloths, he stumbled into the light he thought he would never see again. He came out. And that entire body of mourners, Mary, Martha, Lazarus' friends and townspeople and bystanders and Jesus' disciples, were all transfixed by this incredible sign of God's presence, God's power, and God's promise. See, when God chooses, God can even bring the dead back to life, revealing God's power in show-stopping, mind-blowing, game-changing, life-altering ways through God's presence on earth, Jesus, the Christ. Church, God is asking us to take away huge stones that keep people bound in dark places so we can then move together into this glorious light of God's preferred future. But it takes all of us. God wants all of us to work together to experience all that God has in store, not only for Trinity United Church of Christ, but the entire community of Jasper. So let's be stone movers, working together to bring hope and renewal and new life to the lives that we encounter all around us. Let's discover who we are with Jesus at our side to experience and share God's amazing grace with those who don't yet know about it. You know, we've been called to remove huge stones that keep us and others in darkness. We've been called to help others take off clothes of death, yet it's got to be a joint project. We've been called to believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We've been instructed to love all of our Lazarus siblings back to life, God's life. And all God's beloved people said together, amen. We're going to sing together again our song by Reverend Dr. Christopher Grundy, Leaning In. Gratitudes or thanksgivings or joys do you bring with you to worship today? What has been joyful in your life last week or in this coming week? For me, it's Austin's coming. He is a special friend, and I'm just looking forward for you to experience his charisma, his beautiful voice, and his ministry through music. How about concerns, needs, concerns? Who do we need to lift before God in prayer this morning? What situations or circumstances do we need to pray about today? There are certainly a lot of people in our nation who are suffering this morning from damage done by tornadoes to lives and homes and loss of all things, even lives. I want to invite you to take a deep breath. Remember, as you do, God loves you as the unique and special person that you are. God created you as you are. Another deep breath to thank God for this community of faith and for the future God holds in store for us. And finally, a deep breath to intentionally join our hearts and minds together, going before God together as a community of faith. Believes in God's ability to do all things. Let us pray. Almighty, gracious, giving and forgiving God, we are among your most blessed people. All the ways that you've kept us safe and protected, all the ways that you continue to give us and provide for us all of our needs, sometimes many of our wants as well. And we are amazed at your desire to so abundantly bless us. Help us, God, to be more attentive and aware and responsive to all that you ask us to do in return. Help us, God, to recognize that when we cooperate with you, you hold an amazing future, one that you prefer for all people to experience. Give us faith and give us hope. Give us expectation and anticipation, God, that help us remember you are always with us. You will never leave us or forsake us, and you have wonderful things in your mind to share with us. We're so thankful that you've given us this community of faith. You've called us here to participate, to express our faith and our hope and our joy for being part of your people. Call to this place and time. Help us to keep aware that you not only are present with us, but you will speak to our hearts and to our minds you will instruct us how to be the very best version of ourselves we can be, so that you might be glorified and honored and praised with our thanksgiving. Lord, we lift up so many who are hurting today. They're in the midst of grief and confusion and doubt. All those, Lord, who have experienced loss of their homes, of their loved ones, of their possessions, even of the major part of their lives. God, all we know to do is ask you to be with them and to let them know you are with them, that you will never leave them, you will never forsake them, and you have a way through all the issues and turmoil and confusion. Bless them. As always, God, we are thankful for the privilege and the power of prayer and for the promise that you not only hear our prayers, you've already begun to respond. Because we pray all of our prayers, whether they've been spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, through the power of your Holy Spirit and the blessed name of your Son and our Lord, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray together in this manner. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, yet deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, when God invites us to experience God's glory, even in the form of a miracle, God doesn't intend for us just to sit on the sidelines and watch. I believe God expects us to be involved in helping the miracle occur. The real challenge for us may be just learning how to work and serve together, to provide whatever assistance we can to set the stage for God's glory to be shown. Sometimes participating in a miracle requires us to use all that we are and all that we have to provide the setting for the miraculous to occur. That means we may need to use our bodies, our minds, our hearts, our spiritual experiences, like prayer, showing compassion to others, so those stones can be taken away. Maybe we already know God gives us, all that God gives us is meant to be shared. We're merely stewards of all God's blessings in our lives. So today, we can express our desire to be involved in God's glory by asking God to bless the gifts that we share today as a way to help others experience God's grace in their lives. Let's pray together this prayer of dedication for our tithes and offerings. From your hands, O God, come the blessings that make life possible, even the very gift of life itself. In gratitude and thanksgiving, receive from our hands this portion of our labors. By your Spirit's leading, may we use these gifts to bless the lives of others with an assurance of your love, a promise of your hope, and the course of your justice. We pray in the name of the one who lives and reigns with you to bring you all glory, honor, and praise. Amen. I invite you to stand and let's sing together our song of sending forth. God's eye is on the sparrow. It's number 475 in your hymnal.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home? When God is my portion, my constant friend will be. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. Let not your heart be troubled. Christ in the word I hear, and resting on God's goodness, I lose my doubt and fears. By the path God leads me, but one step I might see. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs gives place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I then draw the close to my Savior. From care I am set free. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For God's eye is on the sparrow, and I know God watches me.
Let us join together in our blessing of going forth. Let us go forth from this place to share the power of resurrection. Let us go forth as a community of faith to unbind those who are trapped in their darkness. Let us go forth to work together as a community of faith to bring freedom and new power to all who are ready to live as new creations in Christ. Amen.